You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, committed to helping you become a soul on fire.
Hey, this is Carrie Oberbrunner. Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast. So I have here a very special guest who I asked to be a truth teller. We've only met for the last hour, physically, in person, but he has become such an integral part of one project in particular, and then a whole aspect of the business. So I'm going to be talking to him in just a moment, but before I do, he already messed with the intro. I told him, I said, what do you think of the new intro? He said, I like Heather, but your music's too long. No, he was very nice about it. And I said, well, Chris, I'll tell you what, let's fix that right now. So let us know, Chris, this is going to be a vote now. All right, we're going to do a whole vote. Let us know if you like the music better in episode 91, which was last week. It's longer. Or if you like the shortened one today. Chris, we're going to have a vote. The people will rule this.
The people rule.
All right, cool. So we're going to get to Chris in just a moment. I'm talking in the microphone right now, but then I'm going to actually interview him. Here's the point, folks. You got to be coachable. You got to be teachable. If somebody walks in off the street and says, dude, you got gum all over your face, and you're like, ah, that's your problem, you're going to suffer. So, hey, maybe I had gum on my face, Chris, with this audio. Maybe you told me I just did. Here's the point. We are talking about Elixir Project. We are days away, like 48 hours away from the Igniting Souls Conference. Chris, why would you drive all the way across the country for this Igniting Souls Conference? Because I'll tell you what, man, I have adrenaline going through my body right now. I'm so excited. Talk to us, Chris.
I have avoided conferences for years. Went to a couple, like, no, this is just too much. I want to stay at home. I want to talk to people on email, and I'm going to be good. But then I heard about your conference. I heard about what you're doing. I heard about everything involved, and I had to be here. I know some of the people that are going to be here. They're on fire. You're on fire. I have never been this pumped up for an event before. I am way excited.
Fantastic. I told people yesterday, even the trees are on fire. They're red. They're red, orange, and yellow. Here's the point, folks. Live events can be, that's the big word. They can be transformational. And Chris, I have a few thoughts. Why do you think live events can be transformational? First of all, I'd love to hear your opinion.
Far and away, it is because of the people that you meet. You can watch things on Teachable, on video. It's not the same. It's the people that you meet, and it's the energy that they bring. It's the, again, that synergistic energy of everybody involved. It's like an audience. You feed off of each other, and you provide so much energy and value and fire for everybody, and everybody else is stoked and they're looking forward to it. And the connections that you make, it's just, I am most excited about the connections that I'm going to make, the people that I'm going to be able to help, the people that are going to, be able to reach out to me. We can help each other in so many different ways just by getting to know each other personally and talking to each other.
Fantastic. Well, I know why events are powerful, and it's for what you just said, but you do have a choice. You can show up and be totally glued to your phone. You can be outside of the room, just like anything these days. You can be there, but not there. So what we do is a few things to set the intention of the room. And Chris, I talked about this recently, but we have something called pre-con. So folks, if you are going to ever do a live event, you need to do a pre-con. Chris, the pre-con is where I'm not going to say the cream of the crop, because I don't necessarily mean that. What I mean by the pre-con is it's the people who are already vested. Nobody can get in the room into the mastermind session unless they are already involved at a deep level. I don't say that it's the cream of the crop. Most of them are. But there's some people that need to be in the room that aren't in the room yet, but after day two or three, next year they will be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I love people who are fully vested, who want to be there. We have people. Do you know we have people from Australia who've already landed?
Whoa.
Amy and William are from Australia. We have Deborah Hemstreet from Israel. We have Roddy from Scotland. We have slews of Canadians, and they always tell me about the exchange rate. They're like, dude, you're killing me. But I hear you. It's your country, you know. I didn't create the currency, Chris. Do you know that? I didn't. So here's the point. We're talking about Chapter 9 today. We know everything about you. But before we jump into that, sometimes we do Elixir first. Other times we do content first. I think today we're going to do the content first, the interview. Chris, you know that on stage we are going to have 31 authors holding up their dream and speaking about it and then sharing about that. You've read Elixir Project. You were one of the first and only people so far to read it, and we'll talk about why in just a moment, why you actually know the content a lot better than some people. But how cool is it, do you think, Chris, that each one of those authors are feeling when they're standing on stage maybe 12 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, they had a dream for a book and now they're holding it? Talk about the power of holding your own book on stage. What do you think is going on in these people's minds?
I think it's just mind-blowing. They have worked and they have slaved and they've invested so much into this book. This book is their baby. I have talked to dozens of authors who have said that this book is their life. It has become such an important part of them, and I hope it's not their whole life, but it is a huge part of their life. And then all of a sudden, it's real. It's in physical form. It's in their hands. They're on stage. They're sharing this moment with other people. They're presenting their baby to the world. It's an experience unlike any other.
Totally agree with you. That is a great term, which is baby and giving birth, because I'm not a woman. I've never given birth. But other women who are clients who have had babies and also become authors, they have said that it feels the same way. It's labor. But you forget all that pain when you're holding that baby, you're holding that book, and you're realizing that it's impacting the world. So Chris, we're here today and we are talking about different types of publishing. And I know you've been in the business for quite a while. I'm in the business. I've seen it all. I've seen traditional publishing, self-publishing. We are also talking about this third crazy way that's just come up on the scene. And it's called Author Academy Elite, which I think is shifting a lot of the way people think about what's possible. But Chris, you've in the projects you've worked on, and by the way, you do interior design, you do cover design, you do all kinds of things related to the book. You've been an editor?
Yes.
So you've kind of been all around the block on different things. Tell us why traditional publishing and self-publishing has limitations, in your opinion.
So I've been in this field now for several years, and traditional publishing has been, it's been a pain. It has become something that people don't want anymore. Some people do for reasons that, you know, aren't related to the quality of the book, because what is coming out of traditional publishing, the quality is going down. They no longer do marketing for people. It has become a commodity industry. People are just not getting the same thing out of it that they used to get.
And because of that, even though they're not getting the same stuff, they're giving away 85% of their profit to the traditional publisher. So it's like they're not going to do anything for you, but you write the book and we'll take most of your money.
Yeah, it's become an untenable situation. And then you've got self-publishing. And self-publishing has been a work in progress. There is so much garbage coming out of self-publishing, not because people don't have good intentions, but they don't have the skills, they don't have the knowledge, they don't have all the pieces put together. And it's a hard row to get all those pieces put together and to understand how it all works, because, again, there are so many pieces. You got to figure out editing and the design and writing the book and the development and so many different things. So the self-publishing on your own is a hard thing to do because of that confusion.
I hear you, man. And by the way, I've self-published. I've been a 6-time traditionally published author. I'm not bashing, and neither is Chris. We're just saying there are limitations. And when you walk into a big decision like, should I publish a book? how should I publish a book? And you say, well, it's either this or that. I think, no. It's if you're going to go build your own house, which is self-publishing, you're going to take care of everything and you're going to make major decisions that could affect your career for the rest of your life. And most people don't even know what they're signing or doing. Traditional publishing, they say, oh, we'll take care of it all for you. And then we'll take care of it all, meaning the profits too. When I bought my traditional books from the publisher, Chris, let's just say my book retailed at $15. When I was buying that book back from them at $7.50 a copy, I thought, sweet, I'm getting a deal, until I realized it's only $4 to print, or $3 in some cases, and they're profiting more than half back. Even though, is that crazy?
It's unbelievable.
So think about that. I buy 1,000 copies of my traditionally published book, and it costs $3 to print. I pay $7.50. That means they made $4,500 off me straight off the top.
And it's your book.
And it's my book. What is up with that? See, these are things that people don't know. And I didn't know it for a lot of years. And that's why I started Author Academy Elite with my buddy David, because I was worried about my clients. My clients came to me and said, Cary, how are you writing all these books, but you're turning them into businesses? How do I do that? And I'm like, it takes too long. I'll send you somewhere. And so I started to interview all kinds of companies. And I realized, like, this is a college kid on the phone who has never published a book, and he's making royalties and profits and commissions off of what he sells my clients. And he doesn't even care about them. And so I said very quickly, we can't have that. And Chris, you've been on the other side now. You've seen that I actually use you as one of our only people in Author Academy Elite who does some of the work. You do a brilliant job. Why am I talking Chris up? Because I used them for Elixir Project, right, Chris? I mean, look, there's no better referral than to say, you know what? I'm doing it myself, and I would choose nobody else but this person for my own project. Then you know I really believe in you. So Chris, talk about Elixir Project. You got that book a few months ago when I asked you to do some of the design work on it. When you started reading it, what stuck out to you? Because I know you have kind of an interest in some of this stuff. I didn't know that at the time, but what did the book kind of excite in your mind? Don't give away the plot, though.
Yeah, I was so stoked to be able to read the book. I was given the book to help with the design, but, you know, of course, I have to read it. So I read the entire thing that first night. I have a background in teaching, and I was especially interested in things like cognitive psychology and learning methodology and all of these things. And I really got into and saw firsthand with my high school students what the brain is capable of and how much we don't use it. And these children, they had such capabilities, and those that were able to draw on parts of themselves. They were able to get into flow and to understand how that whole process works. And then some of them, on the other hand, they were simply content to let people come along and tell them what to think. They were content to just float through their lives, doing what people told them to think, what they told them to do, and they were unhappy. The people that were drawing on the power of their own brains and realizing the control they had, they were the happy ones. They were the ones that were successful, and they were just they were satisfied with their lives.
Fantastic. So the book Elixir Project is classified as a young adult fiction book, but you are how old?
52.
You are 52, and you read it in one night. Why, put it this way, what is this book going to give readers? Whether they, you know, let's just say a 17-year-old, because we've gotten that Serena girl in our tribe. She read it already. She's one of the other few. So you got a 17-year-old who read it in one day. You have you who read it in one day. I'm not emphasizing the fact, folks, that it's being able to be read in one day. This is not just a fiction book. That was my whole goal in writing this. This is actually to help people become unhackable. Talk a little bit about that, Chris, because that's what the whole Igniting Souls conference is this year, becoming unhackable. Go on a little rift here about unhackable, you reading it, why did you read it in one night, all this stuff.
Yeah, we don't realize how much our brains are being hacked every single day. We get on the TV and we're immediately being hacked. We listen to the radio. We look at the billboards. We read the magazines. We go to the store and we're being bombarded with people that are hacking us. We don't have to be hacked. We have control over that process. All it takes is an awareness that it's happening in the first place and then taking the steps to make sure that it doesn't happen. You have to take control. You have to wake up, you have to be aware, and you have to take control. And when I'm reading this book, it's the process of someone going through that. They're going through that same process. They're going along with life. They're doing what they're told. All of a sudden, they're someplace they don't want to be. And they realize, hey, I'm aware. I'm aware of what's going on, and I have the ability to stop that. I have the ability to make myself unhackable.
Love it. Well, you caught it. I mean, you caught the whole theme of the book, and you know, we've been releasing a chapter every single week for free. Folks, I want to get this out to you if you have not read it or gotten it. October 30th, Chapter 9 releases. Chapter 10 is November 6th, and so on and so forth until December 6th, the release day. But Chris, I know we've talked about publishing. We've talked a little bit about Elixir Project. Let's bring our readers to the fact. I don't know if you remember this part, Chris. I know it was a little while ago when you read the book, but we're at the chapter in Chapter 9 where Sienna is in her college dorm talking to Chloe, her roommate, and they're talking about what's going on. Should we even be here? Why are we here? What is Elixir doing with us? How are we going to fight Swarm? They're in this whole crisis of faith and belief. And then there's a knock at the door from Phoebe. And Phoebe walks in with all these boxes full of clothes because they know that they're going to be going to something called the name change ceremony. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And they have no clue what the name change ceremony is. They have no idea what it involves. I mean, it sounds pretty big stuff, the name change ceremony. But they know that they have to go through this process to continue on with the Elixir Project. And they have no, they're scared because this is going to be simulcast to the world. And they don't have the right dresses. They don't feel like they're prepared. And in walks this nice, maybe she's nice, who knows? We don't know yet. But in walks this matriarch figure named Phoebe, and she basically has a dress picked out for each female, each young lady. And whatever, you know, her crew get them prepared, and then they're prepared, and then they ride over to the name change ceremony in this super cool thing called the X-Craft. And the chapter ends with them in the air flying over to this name change ceremony that they have no idea what's going to happen and await them. Chris, if you can share for a moment, you have no idea what's going to await you at this conference.
None.
You know the theme becoming unhackable. Why is it important in life that even though we're scared to death, maybe about publishing, we're scared to death about attending a conference, we're scared to death about picking up a fiction book because we don't even like fiction, which I've heard that from so many people reading the sample chapters. They're like, I don't like fiction. I hate fiction. I've never read fiction. And yet I'm loving this book called Elixir Project because it relates to life. They see themselves in it. Chris, why do we have to go forward? It was found in The Matrix with Neo. It's in so many movies, Frodo with Lord of the Rings. Why go forward when you have fear?
If you don't go forward, you will die. If you're not growing, you're dying. And it's true. And there are so many instances of this. You have to grow. Our entire physical life is all about growing. Everything we do is leading up to something But we don't get there unless we're growing. And to grow, to really grow, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, you have to push yourself. Growing is pushing against something. You're pulling up and you're pulling on resources, but you're also pushing out against something. And even if it's just gravity, you have to push yourself out of your own inertia, your own gravity. You have to make that choice. And it doesn't have to be, I'm all of a sudden going to grow 10 feet tall and I'm going to push myself out to the limits and speak with the president. You have to grow one step at a time, one centimeter at a time. You have to keep going. You have to keep pushing yourself. And when you do, all of a sudden you realize, I'm alive.
I like that. Well, you know, Shawshank Redemption is a big part of my career, my journey. And there's that quote, get busy living or get busy dying. And I think that's what you're saying. You're saying if you are not growing, if you don't go through the fear, you know, I got to share this, Chris. This is coming from nowhere, but it's all good. I took my family to the circus on Sunday, and there was this one gal who was doing this trick on a horse and in this ring. And it's, you know, everyone's just sitting there chilling at the circus, you know, clapping casually. And then she's standing on top of this horse, and then she jumps on top of this guy's shoulder and stumbles. And the guy catches her, and the whole crowd's like, oh! And then people realize, like, this is a real trick. This is not just something that there's no risk. Suddenly, everyone is now engaged at a different level. Their awareness is like, oh my gosh, this is not just a show. She could have just fallen and, you know, broken her neck. So she gets off the horse and all of the trainers come around her and she's fine, but they're kind of like, you know, should we go, you know, tricks over? And she's like, I can't hear, but I can see what's going on. And she basically pushes them away and then they go at it again. And now the crowd is like deeply ingrained, like, oh my gosh, is she going to make it? Sometimes we need to fall, Chris, in order to realize we're still alive. You know that from the book I talk about, this one scene in the book where if there is no chance of failing, your brain fails to go into flow. Because there's a whole chart, which I'm going to share at the conference. I call it the challenge competence ratio. If a challenge is too easy, you're bored. This is from Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. If a challenge is too easy, you're bored. If it's too high, you fall into anxiety. Either one, you step out of flow. Because if you're bored, you can do it in your sleep. But if it's too tough, you get anxious and you get fearful and you get paralyzed. I love what you're saying, Chris, because you're saying, look, go the next level. Whatever your level is, go that level, because the next level is going to bring you into a new level. So many times people sit back and they look at the big, big stars, the big, big influencers, the big, big authors, and they say, I wish I could be like them, but then they don't realize that there's actually 20 steps they need to take before they get there, but they're scared to take one because they think, well, that's just one step. Have you ever seen that happen, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's so much fear. It's all fear, every little bit of it. And just keep in mind that it's okay to fall as long as you fall forward. Don't fall backward and then stop and never leave your comfort again. Fall forward. And don't embrace falling. Realize that, hey, I am going to fall. And when you let go of that fear of falling and you just allow it to happen, all of a sudden you look back and realize, oh, I haven't been falling very much. Mostly I've been accomplishing things. And again, you know what they say about how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
That's right. Don't try to eat the whole elephant.
Yeah, I love it. Great stuff. So in conclusion, I think we're pulling a theme, and the theme is this, that whether it's Sienna and Chloe in their dorm room getting ready for the name change ceremony, which, by the way, the whole quote from today's episode, "We know everything about you," comes from the fact that when they step into the X-Craft, Phoebe pushes a button on the X-Craft, boom, it fires up, and she says, "How did you know we like this song?" It's our favorite song, Chloe says. And Phoebe says, "We know everything about you." And they're scared a little bit because they have this whole thing going on, which they're being monitored by this smart ring called Cortex, and they don't know. They don't know who's good, who's the bad guys. Are they being hacked at this very moment? Are they being pawns? Are they actually part of a project that's going to eliminate Swarm? Nobody knows everything. And that's the tagline for the book. Everything can be hacked, even the truth. And let me say this, folks, even you, even Chris, even me, even you, you can be hacked. If you are not careful, you will be hacked. And so how do you avoid becoming hacked in work and life? Check out Elixir Project. Get the free chapter, elixirproject.com. That's where it's at. Grab it. Chris, I had an absolute blast with you today. And our theme of the day, I think, was this. Go forward in spite of the fear. They are going to be afraid. Someone's listening to this right now, Chris, and they're saying, gee, I know Carrie's doing that free webinar on November 2nd, but, you know, what happens someday when I'm on Oprah and my book, you know, I drop the book and make a fool of myself and trip over my feet when I'm on stage with Oprah. And we're like, hold on, your book's not even done yet. Take the first step. Chris, what do you say to the person who's a little bit nervous right now about even saying yes with a baby step to their book dream? Talk to that person for a moment.
Are you satisfied just going through life, just doing what you're doing? You're not. You're not satisfied at all, or you wouldn't even be listening to this. You know that there's something more. So conquer your fear. Grab a hold of it. Be one with it. You can accept your fear. Your fear is not something just to push away. Your fear is something to take along with you to keep you safe until you take that step. But if you never take that step, then fear will drown you. It'll keep you from taking that step at all. The reward is amazing. Keep that reward in mind. You know, I'm going to be having a baby soon, and the reward is this amazing, amazing thing, this beautiful child. Your book is your beautiful child, and if you don't take that first step, if you don't write that first word, you don't get to experience that. Your life will be gray instead of on fire like the trees here in Columbus.
I like that. I like that. So, folks, had a blast today. Truly amazed, truly honored. By the time you hear this, Igniting Souls Conference will have been over. You can follow and see what happened by going to hashtag IgnitingSouls16 on any social media. See the pictures. See that this thing is actually real. It's actually true. We want you on stage speaking, holding your baby, which is your book, at the next Igniting Souls 17. How do you make that possible? Jump on the webinar. The webinar's in the show notes. It is, I think you can even text. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think you can text. I'm not going to go out on a limb. I'm not even going to go out on a limb. We have a text thing set up, but, you know, I forget the number. It's all good. Do this. Go to the show notes. Go look around on the internet, which is go to carryoverrunner.com. Email support@carryoverrunner.com. We'll get you signed up right away. And it's fantastic. So we only do this free live webinar once in a while. My friend Amy Schmidauer is going to be on there with me. We're going to have a blast. We're going to talk about how you can go forward with this third way of publishing and how you should not just jump in hook, line, and sinker for traditional publishing or self-publishing. I think there's like 0.0001% that should do traditional publishing. Would I ever do it again? Maybe if I qualified and checked all those things off the box. But for the most part, I'm loving this process of Elixir Project. It was truly fantastic, Chris, to work with you and your team. You guys did a brilliant job on the interior design. Over the top. So thankful to you, Chris.
Thank you so much. I just really appreciated the opportunity.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening today. Make sure you vote whose intro's better, Chris's short one or Carrie's long one. We'll have some fun with this, Chris.
I like it.
What's your Twitter handle, by the way?
My Twitter handle is JetLaunch LLC, JetLaunch LLC.
So go ahead and include Chris and me and say who wins the vote. And Chris, let's do a Starbucks drink on this, whoever gets the most votes.
We're in.
All right. We'll see you later. And go remember that fear is simply a reminder that you are entering new territory. You've never been traveling on this road before. And that is a good thing because that means you're alive, you're growing, and you have new neuroplasticity forming in your brain. We'll see you next week.